All right. For our scripture reading this morning, let's open to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew 19 for our scripture reading this morning. First book of your New Testament. But if you're using the Scofield Reference Bible, the Bible in the seats, you're going to find it on page 1026. If you can't find the first book of the New Testament, page 1026. And we're going to begin our scripture reading in verse 27 of Matthew 19, and then we're going to read on into the parable in chapter 20. And so hopefully by now you've come to Matthew 19 and verse 27. I should mention that what's happening here is that the Lord has just told the rich young ruler that he has to sell everything he has and become poor in order to be saved. And in verse 27, after hearing that, Peter's got a question for the Lord. Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, speaking of himself and the other apostles, and we followed thee. What'll we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, there you go, there's good work if you can get it, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said, Well, because nobody's hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that you'll receive. So, when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, well, they supposed that they should receive more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last guys have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give to this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Well, we're going to talk about that phrase later on, that business of many that are last will be first, and the ones who were first will be last. Before we leave the scripture reading, did you notice that the Lord said that twice? He said it at the end of verse 30, of chapter 19 in verse 30, and he said it again in chapter 20 and verse 16. That means it has something to do with the parable, and it has something to do with what the Lord told Peter. And we're going to explain that a little bit later this afternoon, or this morning. Better not take till this afternoon to get to the message. Right now, put your Bible aside and grab a bulletin. Make sure it has February 1st on it. And we do have one announcement that we want to make beforehand that we just learned of since we got here at church. And that does concern one of our matriarchs of the church, one of the ladies who was with us for many years. Betty D'Alessandro passed away, if you remember Betty, Virginia. And her wake will be tomorrow from 9 until 1 at the Steger Memorial Funeral Home on Chicago Road. And then at 1 o'clock, her grandson's going to say something, and maybe me, they're going to be talking about that. I might have something to say too as well. They couldn't get a hold of me. They left a voicemail on Friday at the church, but we, of course, don't monitor that during the week, and he didn't have my home phone. So they planned on the service without me, and now they have the option of adding me having something to say as well. But as far as the announcements in the bulletin, we have been praying for Luana off and on for a number of months now. And as it says here, she's recovering in Munster Community Hospital after receiving a pacemaker last week. And according to Myrtle, they're going to be doing, did you hear, they're going to be doing something else tomorrow
on her leg,
another procedure. She's had problems with her leg, and they're going to be doing something tomorrow, assuming the doctor can get to the to the hospital. So we want to keep her in prayer. Then, the 75th anniversary of Berean Bible Society, where I work up there in Wisconsin during the week, is going to be observed, as it says here, with a April 25th Bible conference. That's on a Saturday, and so if you'd like to take a one-day trip up there and attend the conference and afterward tour the facilities there at BBS where I work, then we've got a sign-up sheet out there on the bulletin table that you can sign up on. I was looking for the brochure, and I had a copy of it and must have lost it. So, but there's a blue brochure. Oscar's holding one up there, and it looks like that, and it's on the bulletin table, and we'll have them out for a number of weeks. So, let's move along because we're running late. As it says in the third announcement, Dave Stewart's going to be our guest speaker March 8th, going to fill in for me. And Paul Baalbach will teach Sunday school for him. And Steve's going to fill in for Dave on March 29th. So we've got those brethren coming up. And that will be a blessing to you if you know those brethren. Midweek Bible studies Wednesday at 7. Steve called this morning and He had a message ready to fill in for Dave, but his wife was telling him that she would prefer that he stay home this morning. And I told him we more than understand that because of the inclement weather. Then, The Jackets for the Filipino Pastors by February 14th. See Virginia about that. And visit the offering box. On a day like today, the offering box is liable to get lonely. So we want to make sure we visit the offering box sometime before the end of the service. Now, before we go to our prayer time, we mentioned that we do want to pray for Lawana, but Thornton mentioned that someone died where he works in an accident Saturday? Friday.
Friday.
Yeah. And we want to remember that as well. And then your friend?
Dwayne Campbell.
Is having surgery.
Monday.
Okay. And Johanna is better, but still not feeling, and obviously not going to come out on a day like today. So, anything else before we look to the Lord? Then let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne of grace on Super Bowl Sunday. They've shortened it and they just call it Super Sunday. But here at Faith Bible Church, we have Super Sundays every Sunday.
Amen.
We come here and in Sunday school, we learn how to tackle the problems of life with the Word of God and block the influence of the world in our hearts, like they block and tackle in the game. And then, in between Sunday school and church, boy, we enjoy the best halftime with the best fellowship anywhere to be found. They say that defense wins Super Bowls, and we're here to learn how to defend ourselves against the wiles of the devil. Putting on the whole armor of God. They say that penalties will kill you in a football game. So we're here to learn to play by the rules. By the rules of the most important rule book, the rule book of life, the Word of God. Then, Lord, we know that in football, the time of possession is critical to win the game. And we are here today to learn how to let you possess our lives and give you our time. The reason time of possession wins games is because the defense gets tired and run down. And Lord, we're tired of being on the defensive. Teach us to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, so we can put the devil on the defensive. Wear him down a little bit for a while. And finally, Lord, we know that life doesn't come with a 2-minute warning. So we're here to learn how to live every day as if it were our last hours on earth. Coaching is important in a Super Bowl, and we thank you for our coaches, Thornton and Dave and Steve and Paul, and ask your blessing on their ministry. Coaches and leadership are important in a country, too, and we always pray for ours. We always pray for our unspoken prayer requests. We watch these football games, and we think those players are super guys and don't have problems of their own. They go to the game just like everybody else with burdens on their hearts that nobody can see. And that's true of us today too, Father, and we lift these burdens up. We pray for this problem we can see. Dwayne having the surgery and this man who may or may not be responsible for the death of that man at the plant where Thornton works. And we can imagine how that could haunt him for the rest of his life. So we lift him up in prayer as well. Father, we know that each of those teams playing today have players that won't be able to play because they're injured. And so we pray for Luana on our disabled list, our injury list. Johanna still not feeling well. And Lord, we pause to give you thanks for the life of Betty D'Alessandro and her faithfulness here over the years. She was here before I got here. And we just pray, Father, for those who will miss her now and love her. And we give you thanks for her life and her love for us. Now we pray for this service. We're few in number, but that doesn't mean you can't feed us with your word. I was reading the statistics about the Super Bowl today, and they said that more junk food gets eaten today than any other day of the year. Well, that's okay for the fans, but the players need nourishing food, what my mom used to call stick-to-the-ribs food. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us that spiritually today. From your word, the only source of spiritual nourishment in the universe. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, first and last of one more song.
Great is that faithfulness. 402. Let's all. 402.
She picked me up in her tank.
I did snow blow this morning, about 6 inches when I woke up.
Did you?
And then, about an hour later, after I got cleaned up and came, I still barely got out of the driveway.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's open our Bibles at this time to John 19 and verse 38. John 19, 38 for our message from God's Word this morning. It's found on page 1143, if you're using the Pew Bible. Page 1143, right before the book of Acts in everybody's Bible. Let us know if you don't have a handout that says John 19:38, because you're going to need it to follow along today. Today being February 1st, 2015, if you're listening by recording. And the text is going to be from John 19:38 right on through to the end of the chapter in verse 42. And the title of this morning's message is White Castle Cravings. White Castle Cravings. I don't know if you know this or not, but White Castle was the first fast food chain. You know that? It began back in 1921. Compare that to McDonald's, didn't come along till what, the 50s. And it started out at a time when most Americans were suspicious of ground beef. And if you ever read the book The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, which came out back then, you know why. Because it opened the eyes of all Americans to the unsanitary conditions in the meatpacking industry. So, to overcome that, White Castle became known as the hamburger joint with the gleaming white porcelain outside and the easy-to-clean stainless steel interior, giving the illusion that the meatpacking industry had cleaned up their act. Whether they had or not, I don't know. They probably did, because that book had quite an impact on the industry. Well, as you may know, in 1994, White Castle came up with a slogan that they still use to this day. White Castle, it's what you crave. And I have to admit, a few times a year, I just gotta have some. Well, in the opening verse of our text, we see a man who craved a chance to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 19 and verse 38. If you have been with us, you know the Lord has just died on the cross. And in John 19:38, it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now, when it says that Joseph besought Pilate for the body of the Lord, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, Mark's version uses a different word. Look with me at your first cross reference in Mark 15:43. It says, Joseph of Arimathea went into Pilate and craved the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, Joseph saw an opportunity to serve the Lord by giving him a decent burial after all the indignities that he suffered on the cross. And he not only desired to serve the Lord in this way, he craved it. Is that how you desire to serve the Lord? Do you think about serving Christ and say to yourself, I just gotta have it? If not, you're probably not using the same motivation that Joseph used. You see, folks, he looked at all that Christ went through, and it made him want to serve him. Later on, the Galatians tried using the law of Moses to motivate them to serve the Lord. And Paul, after telling them that that wouldn't work, he told them what would in your next reference. In Galatians 3:1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He says, take a look at Christ like Joseph did. It'll make you want to serve him. It's what we call grace motivation. And it is the only thing that'll work in the dispensation of the grace of God. We actually have more motivation than Joseph had. Listen, all he had, all he saw was what the Lord went through. We know what the cross did for us. Some pastors preach whole messages giving you all the gory details of the cross, trying to motivate people in that way to serve Him. Listen, what motivates us to serve the Lord is knowing all that those gory details procured for us, all the blessings they bought for us and paid for. The cross of Christ, it doesn't just deliver us from hell, it sends us to heaven. It doesn't just save us from the wicked rulers that rule this universe. It promotes us to a place where we're going to replace them someday for all eternity. And if that doesn't make you want to crave serving the Lord, nothing will. Do you know what Mark calls Joseph in your next reference? Mark 15:43. It says, Joseph of Arimathea was an honorable counselor. Now you know what a counselor is, right? Somebody who gives advice, right? What kind of advice do you think Joseph gave people before the cross? I'll bet I know. I'll bet he said, do what I do. Follow the Lord secretly because of the Jews. Oh, sure, he's the Christ. But there's no sense in getting yourself grief in life over following him. That's the advice I bet he gave before the cross. What kind of advice do you think he gave after the cross? After the cross, I'll bet he said to people, life's too short to hide what you believe. Take a stand for what you believe and start serving the Lord. And that's still pretty good advice today. Now, Matthew tells us some other things about Joseph. In your next reference, Matthew 27, verses 57 to 60. There came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. And when Joseph had taken the body, he laid it in his own new tomb. Now, that's important, folks, because that fulfills a prophecy. A prophecy you find in your next reference, that 53rd chapter of Isaiah that's all about the cross. Isaiah 53:9 says of Christ, he made his grave with the rich in his death. Joseph's a good example of what happens when you give your riches. He had a brand new tomb there he planned on spending eternity in, or his body in, until the resurrection anyway. He's a good example of what happens when you decide you're going to give your riches to the Lord. Because you know what happened? 3 days later, he got his riches back. 3 days later, he got his new tomb back that he gave to the Lord. Listen, whatever riches you give to the Lord in this life, you're going to get it back in eternity. Now, I'm not going to promise you double your money back in this life like all the prosperity preachers do. Give the money to the Lord. Give it to me. And you'll get it back two, threefold in this life. That's not how it works in the dispensation of grace, folks. But I can tell you this. In your next reference, 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, if we suffer, we'll reign with Him. And every dollar you put in the offering box, you suffer the loss of that dollar. But every dollar you put in that offering box, you're going to be rewarded with reigning for eternity with Christ. You're going to get it back, just like Joseph. Now next, Luke tells us something else about Joseph in your next reference. Luke 23, verse 50 and 51. Luke 23:50, Joseph was a counselor and he waited for the kingdom of God. How about you? You waiting for the kingdom of God this morning? Now, I know we're not waiting for the kingdom of God on earth, but we are waiting for the kingdom of God in heaven. Can I ask you if you're waiting patiently for the kingdom of God in heaven? You say, well, why would you ask that? It's because, you know what? We all tend to wait impatiently for everything in life. If we didn't, Paul wouldn't have had to say in your next reference in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the Lord direct your hearts not just into the waiting for Christ, into the patient waiting for Christ. You say, how do you wait patiently for Christ? Like Joseph did, getting busy serving Him. When you were a kid, you waited impatiently for everything, right? Anything that you were looking forward to, you say, oh, I just can't wait till that happens. Or I can't wait for that comes. Or I can't wait to get that. And that's all you could think about. And then, you know, when that's all you can think about, it just takes forever. Time. And so finally, your parents explain to you, you know, if you get busy doing something, time goes faster. When I was a kid, I was driving down State Street in South Holland, right past the original Waltz grocery store. And they used to put little signs on their sign, little slogans, you know, like you see. It was a Christian man who started it, so a little Christian slogan sometimes. And as we drove by, I was just a kid, and I was at that annoying age where every sign I saw, I read it out loud. You know, how kids are just learning to read, and they just... Well, one day, Waltz put up a sign that said, the best way to kill time is to work it to death. And I read that out loud. And my dad, who's always quiet, never said anything when we were driving places, he goes, that's right! And it caught me off guard. And I think he probably said some things after that, but I don't remember but it impressed me. And I still remember that over a half century later. Because it characterized my dad. I told that story at his funeral. Because he believed in hard work. How about you? Do you believe in working hard for the Lord? Thornton was here plowing the parking lot this morning when I got here. If you can't wait for the Lord to come and take you to the kingdom of heaven, time will go a lot faster. If you get busy and serve Him. Now, back in verse 38, notice it says in your Bible that Pilate gave him leave to take the body of Jesus. Now, Mark tells us that when Joseph asked, look at your next reference, Mark 15:44. When Joseph asked Pilate if he could have the body, Mark 15:44, Pilate marveled that he was already dead. Now, if you say to yourself, well, why was he so surprised? Well, I think it was because Pontius Pilate had sentenced who knows how many men to death by the crucifixion cross. And he was probably a pretty good judge of sizing men up to know how long they'd last on the cross. And he knew if you were a wimp, you were going to die real quick. But I've told you before, your Savior was not a wimp. We talked about it last Sunday. He was a carpenter for 20 years in a day when they didn't have power tools. If somebody asked them you to build a cabinet, you had to go out and chop down a tree, make the wood first. All without power tools. Your Savior was no wimp. And I mention that because back in the 60s, it was suggested that Jesus Christ was effeminate. And I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that He wasn't. Because your next reference, in listing a bunch of sins in 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul talks about idolaters, adulterers, and effeminate. And abusers of themselves with mankind. For a man to be effeminate is a sin. That Greek word for effeminate means soft. That English word effeminate, I looked that up. It just means soft and womanly. And it's wrong for a man. And if you're not sure why, look at where it leads you in that 1 Corinthians 6:9 verse. After talking about idolaters and adulterers and effeminate, it talks about abusers of themselves with mankind. Talking about homosexuality, folks. That Greek word is arsenokoitos, male sex. And listen, it was also taught in the 60s that the Lord Jesus Christ was gay. I mean, after all, he never got married and hung around with 12 dudes.
Yes, it was.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Pilate proves otherwise. When Pilate was surprised that a man like him was dead so quickly,